Well, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
And welcome to another service here from our home to your home. This is Unity Center of Light, and we look forward to bringing you this service today. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we want to remind you about the Zoom fellowship that's right after this service. We look forward to seeing you there. You get a chance to discuss the message, ask questions, speak with your other Unity family, listen to music. So please join us in that service right after. And if you enjoy this service, please give us a like below and write a comment, so that we know if we're serving the needs the way you need to be served. So with that, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, October the 10th. The key word is joy, and the affirmation is, a growing awareness of God's presence is my greatest joy. Awakening from a restful sleep, I give thanks for the new day and all the people who will be a part of it. Although I cannot know what will happen as this day unfolds, I remind myself that everything and everyone might lead me to a deeper awareness of God. This growing awareness is my greatest joy. Even if the day includes less than happy experiences, I will know the quiet joy and comforting strength of God. I will rejoice today in being alive, able to think, to feel, appreciate the sights, sounds, and aromas that fill my environment. I will discover joy anew as I recognize each person I meet today as a unique expression of the wonder of God. The scripture reading is taken from Psalm 118, 24, and it reads, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Amen. And now we will have today's message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, today's message is called Life, the Transforming Experience. And sort of the subtitle is, We Are Transformed by Our Lives Challenges. And we're going to talk about that. And we're going to, as I like to do every week, sort of lightly go over some of the Unity concepts that are in back of whatever the lesson is, as a reminder as we move through this process. So there's going to be, a lot of Bible in this, and how it applies to our everyday lives. Also, what's interesting, too, these last several weeks, there's always been something that has happened during the week that is, given me, as April would say, the fodder for coming up with a Sunday talk. So a lot of these are built out of my own experiences, usually as recent, like I said, as the week that just went by. But first, let's just acknowledge some truths that are the foundation of new thought, okay? And, life really is all about love, period. Okay, that's really the foundation. And why? Because God is love. And because God is love, the most important lesson we want to learn in this life experience is how to love, right? And again, the question, why? Because it is by loving each other that we are most like God, right? So it's recorded in Galatians 5:14, the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment, love each other and love yourself. Okay. Now the revealing word explains in divine mind, love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it. Let me say that again. So in divine mind, love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it. So love connects us to the harmony of the universe, right? And that's really, you know, think about that. Love connects us to the harmony of the universe. So when you are coming from love, it's not just something that's just happening with you, but you've connected yourself to the harmonious movement of the entire universe. And, you know, the best time to express love is right now, in this moment, in this very situation, with this person or people. But how often does life present us with an opportunity to love, and we do not love, because in our mind, the circumstance or circumstances do not meet our parameters for love, okay? That's like we were having a discussion right now. We could probably all come up with something and say, yeah, but that was really hard for me to do in this particular situation. And I get it, because this happens to me also, you know, a lot, right? And most of the time, life is great. You know, life, you know, we catch each other most of the time, life is great. But life has those, you know, these moments that can be really challenging and sometimes very challenging. And even though the opportunity for transformation is in both the good times and in the challenging times, it's usually the challenging times that present us with the greatest opportunity for growth. Okay? And in this case, we are referring to specifically spiritual growth, which means the mind and heart opening up. You know, the experiences are causing you to open up, and that opening, you find yourself drawing more closer to the divine within you, okay? So let me just reemphasize that. What we're talking about here is experiences that cause our mind and heart to open, you know, from the experience and draw us closer to the divine within ourselves. And that is the focus of this lesson, that being to consciously use our life experiences for spiritual transformation, specifically to increase our divine connection, okay? Now, we read in Scripture, in Ephesians 4:2, says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit through the bond of peace, okay? So it is the bond of peace that keeps us in unity with our indwelling Holy Spirit. In Romans 14:19, let us concentrate on the things which make for harmony and the growth of one another's character. Okay, so, you know, these verses all talk about this connection that we have when we're coming from love. Now, we also read in Scripture, and this is a combination of verses, all right? And I knew that if I just read it and didn't put up a slide, people would be trying to catch up on it, all right? And I highlighted in certain areas, so if you can't catch the whole thing, you know, and you don't want to come back later, just catch the words that are highlighted and then put the word together after them, okay? So it says, we were put together, joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, and held together, and will be caught up together, okay? So, again, the idea of caught up, meaning caught up in the consciousness of the Christ. And we're going to spend a few minutes on this idea of being caught up in the consciousness of Christ. See, we are actually created to become like Christ. Now, listen to this series of Unity Basics explaining what becoming like Christ means. And you're going to notice I'm highlighting for us, okay? So I'm not just giving you some Unity Basics in general. I'm giving you the basics, and then I also help you to understand what does that mean for us, okay? So this statement, we are actually created to become like Christ, resonates with our belief that everyone has within them the Christ ideal. Ideal meaning a conception of something in its absolute perfection. And here we go. For us, that conception would be embracing the reality of our indwelling Christ potential. Now, ideal refers to one who is regarded as a standard or model of perfection or excellence. And here we are. For us, that would be the life and teachings of Jesus. Now, metaphysically, Jesus was called the type person. You've heard me say that before. You also heard me say, if you hypothetically had this conversation with God and say, how should I be? God would answer, be like Jesus. Again, Jesus representing an archetype of how we are to be in order to get in touch with our Christ self. And again, here we are. For us, the life and teachings of Jesus are the pattern by which we strive to fashion our lives. So ideal also refers to the ultimate object of an endeavor. Again, for us, the ultimate object of our endeavor is to heal our mind of the wounds created by fear so that we can awaken to the reality that we have within us, the potential to become the Christ. Okay? And again, I know that's a lot, but if you are one who takes notes and studies, it gives you the opportunity to go back and try to understand, because that's the question all the time. What does that mean for me? Okay, I use for us, but what does that mean for me when we hear these different, you know, metaphysical ideas or unity basics or new thought ideas, all right? So we in unity, though, may differ from the typical Christian view, which is only Jesus is the Christ, okay? Only Jesus is the begotten Son of God. That's what we hear as, you know, in the typical Christian belief. Now, we believe that Jesus came us to show us the way to help us remember who we really are and that we have within us the same divine potential he had within himself. Okay? Now, Jesus crucified or crossed out of himself everything that prevented him from becoming at one with the beloved presence that we call God. He transformed and renewed his mind, and in the process, he left us with instructions on how to follow his example. Okay? And again, it's almost like anything in your life that you find you have a mentor for, that you follow this person in order to learn that particular skill or whatever it is that you are striving to learn. So from a metaphysical or a spiritual standpoint, we look at Jesus as that way shower. Now, not to negate the way showers, again, in other traditions, but this is what it is for us. So the more we study and contemplate truth teachings and strive to live them in every area of our lives, the more we condition ourselves to awaken and remember who we really are. And the more we will begin to realize that our Christ-like potential is within us waiting for us to awaken it. And this is a process of awakening from how we have been indoctrinated. And let me say it again, because that's important. All that we're going through, all we're studying from the spiritual perspective, again, using Jesus as our way shower, and other masters, if that's the route that you're taking. But what we're trying to awaken from the process of how we've been indoctrinated, okay? And most of our lives, we've been indoctrinating ourselves to believe certain things about ourselves and others, okay? In other words, developing our own perceptions and beliefs about things. And as we keep going over those ideas and perceptions and beliefs, we are indoctrinating ourselves about ourselves and others. And we also have been indoctrinated by outside forces to believe certain things about ourselves and others, okay? So awakening from this indoctrination process and remembering the truth about ourselves happens through life's transforming experiences. Okay, so awakening gives us a lot to think about, and I know you can probably relate to that. When something happened that caused you to awaken from some indoctrinated behavior that you had or thought in your mind, it gave you a lot to think about, and it also gave you a lot to process. And it's not easy to mentally and emotionally digest that we are the eachness of the allness. It's not easy to digest that. In our discussions, we've had several questions around that in our Sunday fellowship discussions. And that's why I invite you to be part of that. So if you have these thoughts in your mind, you can ask them in that session. So anyway, you know, again, it's not been easy for us to mentally and emotionally digest that we are the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of all that God is, okay? God being that power within you that is far greater than anything that exists outside of you. Or simply the mantra version is, God is within you. All right? Somebody asks you, say, God is within you. Or another way of saying it is, God is within me. Okay? And as you know, that statement is the mission and the mantra of Unity Center of Light. It permeates everything that we teach here. So the eachness within every one of us is the divine reality we call the Christ. The Christ is the individual expression of God. The Christ is the individual expression of God. We have within us the Christ. So that what makes us the eachness of the allness. God has individualized God's self within each one of us as the Christ. So you are the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of God, containing all the potential that God is. I am the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of God, containing all the potential that God is. And I'm going to say that again slowly in case you want to repeat it with me. I am the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of God, containing all the potential that God is. Okay? And how aware we are of the Christ mind within depends on the work we have done to make it part of our reality. Okay? Our spiritual goal or ultimate endeavor is not to just become Christ-like. It is awakened to the realization that in truth, at the core of our being, we are just what Jesus taught us. We are the Christ. Okay? Each encounter with a circumstance in or a person in our lives gives us the opportunity to exercise love and compassion. Okay? To exercise that Christ side of us. So exercise love and compassion, faith and patience, wisdom and right judgment. Right? Each experience gives us the opportunity to reconnect our mind with God's mind, which expands our awareness that we are the Christ. Okay? So as it explains in the Revealing Word, as a result of the disconnection between the thinking faculty of human consciousness and the fountainhead of existence, humanity has reached a very low state, a state in which we believe that we are separate from God. And then came Jesus of Nazareth, whose mission was to reconnect the thinking mind of each one of us with the true source of thought, which is the fountainhead. Right? So in each of us, the thinking mind, of course, is the ego mind, or what we might call the intellect, right? Believing that it has an existence separate from God. That's the biggest challenge, right? And the fountainhead is God. And the dictionary defines the fountainhead as the spring that is the source of the stream. The spring that is the source of the stream. And as it's written in John 4:14, Jesus said to the woman at the well, the water that I will give you will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You know, so that's sort of the idea that we're looking at. We want more understanding of this source that's within us. And you've heard me say before that God is constantly begetting the only begotten. Meaning God is constantly bringing our awareness back to the Christ within us. Now, we dampen or block our awareness of the Christ within every time we give into the temptation to act in fearful, unloving ways, right? So every time we do that, and it comes up naturally for us, okay, but every time we do that, then we're blocking that dynamic flow, that connection that we have. But our salvation comes from knowing that God is constantly begetting the only begotten, right? Meaning God is constantly reinstating our Christ potential, which is our ability to connect with God, the fountainhead, which is always guiding us towards the light of divine love and spiritual understanding. And this is the key. It's always doing that, whether or not we can perceive that that is what's happening. All right? So it's not a thing where you have to know that that's happening. It's happening. Okay? What we want to become aware of is being aware that it's happening. Okay? And so that when we become aware that it's happening, then we can kind of settle down from what we believe should happen in this moment to being guided by what Spirit is letting us know is the best thing to happen in this moment or in our lives in general. And fortunately, whereas we can exhaust ourselves with a lack of faith and unloving behavior, you know what I'm talking about, right? We can exhaust ourselves with a lack of faith and unloving behavior. We cannot exhaust God's omniactive presence from inspiring us to become more conscious of our divine connection. Right? The divine intelligence that permeates the universe is constantly whispering to us, you can get through this. You can get through this because you are the Christ. So how can we stop the madness in our minds that blocks us from hearing that still small voice? It is not so much about trying to stop the madness. Now, see, that's what we try to do. We try to stop the madness. It's not so much about that as it is about redirecting our thinking to thoughts of the beloved presence. Okay? So instead of saying, well, I got to stop thinking, I have to stop doing this, don't get involved in that circle that never ends. Just redirect your thinking to the beloved presence. A practical example that I use in my life is a mantra that I just keep going over and over and over in my head. And when I hear these other things trying to creep in, I reinforce my thinking or focus on this mantra that's going through my head. Okay? So whereas thinking random thoughts or flitting thoughts from one thought, you know, flitting from one thought to another can drive you away from being spiritually connected and directed, okay? And that's what we want. We want to always be spiritually connected and directed. But these, you know, flitting thoughts going back and forth can disrupt that, all right? What we want to do is move from that to thinking about the beloved presence that can give you a sense of peace. Not only just peace, but clarity about why you're going through a certain experience. And that's what we always want. Why am I going through this? Okay? But it's clarity that you're also looking for. Not just peace, but clarity. So let's face it. We only have two choices. We can either join our mind with our ego mind, which we seem to do by default. Okay, that's sort of the default that we go to. Or we can do the work to join our mind to our indwelling Christ. This is the central idea of life as a transforming experience. Okay? Choosing to join our mind with our indwelling Christ is the central idea of life as a transforming experience. That being to learn how to focus our thoughts on the things of God. Okay? Now, these things, which you know, you all could say them to me. These things are, you know, love and faith and wisdom and peace and patience and compassion, acceptance and understanding, and that's just to name a few, all right? These are the wonderful ideas that we would love to embrace if it just wasn't for you fill in the blank, okay? Because you can say, well, if it wasn't for, all right, and we all have the blank, our blanks to fill in with the stuff that keeps us from doing and keeping our mind focused on these divine ideas, okay? So we all have our justifiable reasons for not being able to stay Christ-centered. We all have our justifiable reasons for not being able to stay Christ-centered. But whatever your reasons, it is important to remember you are not alone. Everyone has their own set of reasons for not fully embracing and living the Christ life. And many of them sound just like yours, right? We are all on this journey, and there are no perfect people on this journey. Some of this is coming from Rick Warren's book, A Purpose-Driven Life, and he says churches should put a sign out that says, perfect people need not attend, right? No one is perfect. That is why we are here. So in this virtual church modality, we should put a sign on the opening graphic, you know, that you saw when we first started. It says we're connected, you know, we are connecting in this virtual way to love and support each other right where we are, while learning how to encourage each other at the same time and encourage ourselves to live the Christ-guided light. Okay. Now, the author of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, offers four different works we can refer to. In other words, these are works in Scripture that we can refer to get an understanding of what it means to become like Christ. Okay, so note takers, get ready. Right? So the first works is the Beatitudes found in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. But we're only going to deal with a couple of those. Okay, and I want to share two of those in a minute, not right now. Okay, so the first works is the Beatitudes, found in Matthew 5, 1 through 12. The second work that we can use to help us, into becoming more Christ-like. It's called the fruits of the Spirit. It's found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And that I am going to share with you. It said, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, okay? Those who belong to Christ have crucified their fearful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envious of each other, okay? So, again, that's the second work or thing we can work with to help us to become more conscious of our Christ self. The third work is Paul's great chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, almost everybody is familiar with that. So if you're not, or you think you want to refresh yourself and reread it, that's the third work. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 13. And the last is Peter's list of characteristics for living an effective, productive life, found in 2 Peter 1, 5, verses 5 through 11. And I will read that to you at the end of the lesson. But now let's read two of the Beatitudes that folks find to be the most challenging, right? And it'd be interesting, too, if we were in person or in the fellowship, you can tell me if those have been challenging verses for you. So these two Beatitudes, we're going to read them both in the RSV, the Revised Standard Version translation, and we're going to also do them in the Message Bible translation. Okay, so let's look at those. All right, so Matthew 5, 3, this is a Revised Standard Version. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That has been challenging to a lot of folks, okay? But let's look how the Message Bible says it. You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope, because with less of you, there is more space for God to take charge of you. All right? Does that make sense? See, now you begin to understand. So blessed are the poor in spirit means your own ego spirit, okay? And then Matthew 5, 4, Revised Standard Version. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And the Message Bible says, you are blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one who is truly most dear to you. Okay? Now, again, if you have some challenge with some of those, I would love to hear questions you have about that in the discussion we have after this. All right. So you're blessed when you no longer know what to do about what is occurring in your life. And you're blessed when you feel you have lost what is most dear to you. Why? Because both of these conditions put you in a state of mind where you are more open and receptive to being embraced by the divine presence. Okay. And the divine presence we call God is always striving to enlighten us to the fact that the only thing that is real and lasting is our relationship with Spirit. Okay? And I do realize that these spiritual statements can sound flimsy and weak in the face of life's challenging circumstances. You know, when we find ourselves in need of some physical manifestation, you know, it's like if you need money or if you need health or if you need whatever it is we need, you know, and that what we're looking for is a physical manifestation of that which we say that we need or want. And nothing will be more comforting than receiving that, you know, that which we believe that we need. You know, nothing else is going to satisfy us, all right? So prayer sounds nice, let's be real. And faith sounds nice. And love and compassion sound nice. But in the moment of the challenge, the only thing we can think about is we need what we need to satisfy this condition. And it may be difficult for us to substitute some intangible spiritual notion. But that is not how we want to be. Okay? It is how we might be now. I know a lot of us, especially in Unity, because I witness it, we can really turn to prayer and hold on to prayer. But we're also knowing, even with myself, that in that prayer, you're hoping that thing you're praying for actually does manifest, okay? So that is how we are now, but it is not how we want to be. It is how we are in this moment, but we don't want to continue in that same mindset. We are here because we want to learn how to honestly and completely turn our life over to God, which is the underlying, unchangeable truth that is the being within our being. Okay. And I've had that experience this week, and I was telling Pam, you know, every day I was saying, you know, I'm trying to just let this go. Right, honey? I kept saying it to you. I'm just trying to just let this go. You know, and my mind is, because my mind can manipulate things. It's coming up and it's all these thoughts about, well, this is what I should do, you know. And my spirit was saying, yeah, but you just need to let it go. Okay? So we want to know how to live truly knowing that God is in charge of my life and affairs. Each one of us should be saying that. I want to know, you know, or my thing that I write in my book at night, I'm grateful that God is in charge of my life and affairs. Okay? That's where we want to get. So we embark on a spiritual journey of awakening, and oftentimes we do not even know we are on a spiritual journey. Okay? We embark on a spiritual journey to awakening. Oftentimes we don't even know that we're on a spiritual journey. Okay? But you know, there is this truth in the statement, fake it until you make it, right? If you don't feel you're really there, but you are at least aware that you want to be there, fake it until you make it. Meaning live your life with faith, even though you do not really feel faithful. Live your life with love and compassion, even though you may not even feel loving and compassionate. You know, there's something magical that happens when you're able to choose to turn to someone whose head you would like to just bite off, right? But instead you take a deep breath and say something to the person that is kind and reassuring and uplifting. Okay? So even though you may feel anxious, pretend you know that God is at work in this situation and something good is about to transcend all appearances. And when you do this, even when it is against your own better judgment, a shift in energy occurs in non-physical reality. Okay, that's important. We did talk about that, I think, two talks ago. And when you're able to do that, an energy occurs in non-physical reality, which causes your energy to shift, which causes the energy within the circumstance itself to shift. That's the reason for this understanding of this non-physical reality. All this shifting is happening that you're not even aware of. And it allows, when all that shift does happen, it allows a miracle to happen. So when you say, well, how does a miracle happen? A miracle happens when you allow yourself to shift from your own worry and fear and lack of understanding to knowing that God is in charge of your life and affairs. Okay. So I end this lesson by reading to you, as I promised, from 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. Okay, this is the fourth work that you can do to increase your Christ awareness. And there's a lot. There's a lot on this slide. Okay, but don't worry about it. You know, again, I've heard people say to me that they like the slides because they can go back to them and get more information from them. So let's read this together. Okay. It says, so make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God better leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for others. You can see how the flow is, all right? And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. So there's a process that happens. And the more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind or at least very short-sighted. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of fears. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. In doing this, you will never stumble or fall away. And God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, let's become focused and quiet. Find that comfortable position right where you are. Place your feet flat to the earth. Close your eyes if you wish and relax your body. Know that this is your time with Spirit. Take a moment now and breathe in deeply and exhale fully. Give yourself this time to relax. There is nothing for you to do in this instant. Just rest. Set aside your worries and just be. And now I ask that you take the following words as your very own. As I let go, I remember the powerful presence of God in me and all around me. No matter where I am never alone, for God is here. God is always here with me and as me. God is love, infinite love that reminds me how precious I am. God's love is right now bringing harmony and understanding into my life and into my relationships. I am so loved. God is the life that moves through my body temple, bringing wholeness and health. My body is a miracle. I have more than enough energy and stamina and vitality to do all that I love to do. God is light, the light that sources me with creativity and ideas. God's wisdom within me is right now bringing solutions to my problems and answers to my questions. And now take what you've heard this morning into the silence to receive your guidance and answers to your prayers. Now, as you prepare to return to your surroundings, you feel refreshed and strengthened, and you know that God is always with you. We do give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall it be. Amen.
This is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. We ask you to hold your offering blessing in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, and in your soul. And let's say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And again, we thank you from our hearts for all the wonderful donations you've been sending to us. We're going to have a light note?
Yes. Please join us for another Courageous Conversations with Reverend Michelle Sinegal on Sunday, October the 31st, following the Zoom Fellowship. Michelle will facilitate our journey through effective listening skills, clear and compassionate communication, and more. Our theme for this month, for our 30th anniversary, is 30 for 30, giving back and giving forward. We like to support our local food pantry and would like to show this support by asking those who are able to make a gift of $30 to Unity Center of Light and designate it to the food pantry. And now the 30-30 Giving Forward is giving the gift of $30 if you are able and making it payable to Unity Center of Light for the future of our center. One of our Unity Center of Light family members has graciously offered to anonymously match your donation of $30 to the food pantry and $30 to Unity Center of Light, up to $60. Please be sure to mark what your donations are for and let us know what your intention is, as our donor wants to match what you give.
That's a real blessing to have the donor who,
yes,
you know, offered to do that. So we are now ready to do...
To bless the path bless that the path. We each will All walk right. this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. Amen.
Amen. Now it's time for the prayer for protection. Together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well, and that's the truth.
All right. Okay, well, thank you again for being with us. It was a pleasure having you being here and sharing with you in this virtual environment. So we hope you have a wonderful and safe week. But if you're joining us in Zoom, we look forward to seeing you in Zoom right after this service. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.